Welcome to the Naughty Child Podcast with me, Richard.
And me, Polly.
I'm the dad.
And I'm the daughter.
I'll do everything before I leave. I need to find that bag on my coins.
Alex Hartley took us off air in Brighton earlier this year.
I'm a huge fan of Pepper.
We thought we were really funny, so why doesn't everyone else think we're really funny? It's been the longest year ever, hasn't it?
She's the most relaxed captain you've ever known.
You got me through my flight from Mackay to Adelaide, so thank you very much.
Well, my dog is now called Julian or
something. Oh, well, Manchester Originals aren't through to the Eliminators, so I've got to change my team.
Sophie Eccleston's the worst, like having a child with you when she's on tour.
I don't know whether it shows something about me or whether it just shows I'm a little bit stupid.
So, Polly, we are getting close to the end of the season.
Yeah, we're approaching the final weekend. I don't know what you thought of the season, but for me, it's gone really fast, but it's been really packed at the same time. It's kind of strange that it's the end of the season, because I still feel like we're near the start. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but...
Well, yes, I guess we think back to, you know, was it... just after Easter, because we're quite late Easter, just after Easter, when we're going to some of the county championship games.
Yeah, and the warm-up games for the regional stuff as well.
And yes, it's just been so much cricket, hasn't there? And I think particularly being here in Birmingham and having the Commonwealth Games, the Commonwealth Games just seems like a dream to me now.
I know. I think given the fact the weather's turned as well, I think I just can't believe that it ever happened. Yeah. It feels like a couple of years ago. It was really strange. And then even the 100 seems like a world away. But obviously only finished up 3 weeks ago or so.
Yes, September's like that, though, with the start of term, isn't it? That I always think September just seems to last forever. And suddenly the memories of the summer holidays just seems a long, long time ago now. We're 3 weeks into term.
Well, I need to feel... I think September's gone quite quickly, actually.
Okay.
I mean, everyone says that sick form might fly by, whatever. But this year is already fly. I can't believe it's been 3 weeks already.
Yes, your last year at school.
Thank goodness. Anyway, shall we chat about the last round of the Rachel Hare event?
Yeah, so that happened on Saturday and Sunday. And you went to matches on both Saturday and Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah, so it's actually quite a key... round, really, in terms of determining who was going to kind of finish first in the table. Mm-hmm. Most of the games were kind of dead rubber. It didn't really matter. So Thunder West and Storm, neither of the teams could qualify. Sparks, Sunrisers, similarly. Southeast Stars Lightning, again, kind of, because I don't think Stars could have qualified for that first place. But the really exciting game was Northern Diamonds against Southern Vipers. Not only because whoever won that game would be top of the table, but also because there was the potential that these could be the two teams that face each other in the final, which obviously we now know is going to be the case. So it was quite exciting to see how these teams matched up, because neither of the teams had lost a game in the Rachel Hare Flint tournament, and both looked really, really strong sides.
In fact, Vipers just haven't lost a game all season.
No, they hadn't lost a game until Saturday.
Yes, and I think the first thing to say about Vipers is they were missing so many players with England call-ups. They were hardly recognisable as a team.
Yeah, and this is something we've spoken about a bit over the season, that some teams, you know, for example, Northern Diamonds, have almost been quite fortunate in the fact that none of their players, other than Lauren Winfield Hill, are kind of on the fringe of England at the moment, or haven't been in squads for England, which means that their team's quite consistent and they aren't suddenly going to miss their best player 1 week, which is something Vipers have had the issue of. You know, they've got Danny White, who's a regular in the England setup, then they've had Lauren Bell, Freya Kemp, Maya Boucher. I'm trying to think of other people. But, you know, they've had quite significant players go to England duty, which obviously on one hand is a great thing, but for the actual region, especially when it came to such an important game, it did become a bit of a problem. And I think there was a debut that game, and also even in the semi-final there was a debut. So
it seems to me as well that your bowlers are much more difficult to replace than your batters. And so to lose Bell and Kemp, and then Shrubsole for some reason wasn't playing. Yeah.
She hasn't played the last couple of games.
And so suddenly that bowling lineup for Vipers looked really quite weak. And then the batters didn't fire as they might have fired. So Maya Bouchier was released by England to take part in the game, but only got like 9 runs. I mean, Georgia Elwes did well. Georgia Adams did well. But, they didn't quite fire in the way that they needed to, and really posted a subpar total.
Yeah, definitely. And especially against Northern Diamonds, where you know how strong their batting lineup is. I mean, in terms of Northern Diamonds bowling, it was pretty good. Holly Armitage got 3 wickets. Kate Lever got 2 wickets and was very economical. But again, it was kind of spread across the board, which is something, you know, we've seen from Northern Diamonds across the season. And then on to Northern Diamonds batting. Lauren Winfield Hill, 125 not out.
Just absolutely brilliant. And what a season she's had, having been dropped by England. I just think, if I mentioned this in our interview today, I think she's been the best English batter of the summer. By quite a distance. So consistent, got so many runs. I mean, the top run scorer in this competition by a long, long way. Got over 400 runs from 6 games. But was doing that all season. We saw her back in May. Get 96 in the Charlotte Edwards Cup. Absolutely brilliant year. And, it's difficult as well. She's had so long playing for England.
She's had so many opportunities.
Yes.
To be amazing.
Yes.
And now she's performing really well at regional level. And as we said before, if it was any other player, if a younger player was doing this, then they would get international recognition. However, because she's had so many chances for England, it seems a little bit like a closed door. I think also given her age as well, they're looking to get young batters in who might be a bit more inconsistent at the moment, but bring them up through the ranks, and so they become superstars in a couple of years.
But she's done well in the Charlotte Edwards, she's done well in the Hare Flint, she's done brilliantly in the 100. Is it true she's got a WBBL contract now as well?
Yeah, she signed for the Melbourne Stars. So, she's got good things coming this winter. So, I mean, I'm glad she got a WBBL contract. I mean, she was, when I was thinking about who's going to get a contract, her name was kind of first on my list. In terms of people that aren't, I mean, it seems like it's not going to clash with any England things, but if it was going to, she would be someone that probably wouldn't be on international duty. So she's kind of your perfect player. But it's been a good summer for Lauren Winfield Hill. I'm sure she would have loved to get some time in an England shirt this summer. But what she's doing at regional level is remarkable.
And like you say, that type of player is the perfect player for a regional team to have. Someone who's international class, but not being picked for England.
Exactly, because they're going to always be there. And another amazing player this year has been Bess Heath. And again, she performed in this game as well. She got 54. I just think she's been outstanding. I think it's an interesting conversation that's kind of been had about who's the next wicketkeeper. And obviously, I think the two big names in contention for that are Bess Heath and Ellie Threlkeld. And, Ellie's got probably a better chance behind the stumps, but it was a batting that was slightly letting her down. I mean, she's been better with the bat towards the end of this summer, but it's an interesting one to kind of think about for the future, without trying to almost push Amy Jones out, because she does a very good job at the moment. In terms of Vipers bowling, Georgia Adams has been great all summer. I think she picked up 2 wickets and only went for 37 runs from her 10 overs, so really good. And I think the fact that Charlotte Edwards put her in for a bowling session that time, it's paid off. And it was a right decision, even if it was probably quite strange to George Adams at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you've got to make yourself useful, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I think it's just strategically been a very, very important thing for the Vipers. And, you know, and for Georgia Adams as well, in terms of her value as a player and how she might be seen in terms of England and so on in the future.
Yeah. So then on to Southie Stars against Lightning. Kind of the big talk of this game was Bryony Smith, who got 114 from 102 and was just class as ever, really. Yeah, I thought she played really well. Also, Rhianna McDonald-Gay, who I think only made her debut for Stars this year. I could be wrong. But again, a young player. She got 54 from 59. And Alexa Stonehouse as well, 31 from 37. You know, coming in quite low down the order, but still being able to put a big score, a decent score anyway. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, McDonald-Gay is one, you'd say the 100 has really benefited her.
Yeah.
You know, given her that experience and is now turning it into really top-class performances at regional level.
Yeah. Kirsty Gordon was good with the ball as well. 2 for 38 from her 10 overs. Grace Bellinger, a little bit expensive, went for 60 runs, but picked up 3 wickets and got both the openers. So, pretty important. I thought Southie Stars batted very well. In terms of Lightning, it was interesting. So, batting wasn't particularly good, other than Georgie Boyce.
Now, therein lies a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Something that I don't think anyone's really explained this season is about loans. Mm. So 3 players this season have gone mysteriously on loan to Lightning. So Gwen Davis, Georgie Boyce and Emily Windsor. And most of the time it's been after they haven't got game time. So presumably it's for them to get game time at Lightning, where especially someone like Emily Windsor, who the standard is so high and it's so difficult to get into that team a lot of the time, it gives them an opportunity to just play regional cricket. And Georgie Boyce, kind of was left out of the 100 a bit, which was a little bit surprising.
So first year of the 100, I think she played virtually every game,
I think.
And this year she was part of Manchester Originals, didn't get any game time at all, and has now been sent out on loan from Thunder to Lightning.
Yeah.
No explanation on that at all. So
The thing about the loans that's confused me is because there's been no announcement of it. So I remember when I saw Lightning against Thunder, the one I was commentating on, we were looking at the team sheet and obviously just making sure you know who's the thing. And it said G Davies. And I was like, that's definitely Gwen. And then I saw her walk past. I was like, Gwen? And there was obviously nothing by either Sparks or Lightning to say that she'd gone there. There was no explanation for why she was there. And she just kind of turned up and played. No one knew how long she was going to be there for. Obviously, then probably her and the club. But I just think it's a little bit strange that there's no kind of... Because you think about, for example, football, when a player goes on loan, that's a big thing. And it's well explained. Obviously, this is a different situation because it's for like 3 weeks or one... Like Emily Windsor's 1 week. But I don't know. It just is a bit random.
There needs to be better communication on it and clarity of the rules around it as well.
Yeah. Especially when you've got professional players. So obviously Emily Windsor isn't on a contract, but both Gwen Davis and Georgie Boyce are regionally contracted. So again, there's kind of another question within that.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's a signal of moves that might be happening between this season and next season. We'll wait and see.
We'll see. Then on to Central Sparks against Sunrisers.
Now, you were at the whole of this game. I came for the second half, so Central Sparks batted and Sunrisers were coming into bat. I think the thing, I'll just say what I think about it, Paul, because I watched Sunrisers bat and I just thought it was disgraceful.
Yeah.
I thought it was such an underperformance. It was like they hadn't turned up, apart from one player. Grace Griffin's... It's like she was that team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like the Sunrisers. We've had good chats with Sunriser players. You know, when we're, you know, we're saying, you know, make the Hollywood movie, they're going to get Rachel Hayes Flint final. But they were, I mean, aside, it seemed really sad.
Yeah.
What I was watching unfold. Now, anyone can have a bad day and that sort of thing, but it felt like there was a, I don't know, I don't want to say unprofessional because I'm not even qualified to say that, but it was not a very good performance at all.
The thing is, I'm very much of the opinion that we do need to be like critical of the women's game and hold it to a standard, and that was just by no means good enough. And the fact that Sunrisers have won, I think it's one game out of every season of the Charlotte Edwards Cup and Rachel Hayes Flint Trophy, there's something going wrong. And Grace Scrivens has, and you know, did the other day carry the team on her shoulders, really. And yeah, I think it's an interesting one because on one hand, you know, like what do you do in that situation? Like what do you do with that team in terms of making it more even? But at the same time, you don't want to just take loads of good players and put them in this team for the sake of making that team better, because I think it's more about the players' development. And so, you know, if I was Grace Scrivens, I would be really upset because you don't, when you're playing so well, you don't want to be part of a team environment or a team that is doing so badly. And I just don't think it's fair on her, because we've said this before, but I think if she was a Vipers, she would have been playing for England. She would have had that international recognition. I mean, even if she was at a lot of other different regions. But I think because of the results Sunrisers have had, I think she's been a bit overshadowed. I mean, she's been in the like top five run scorers and top five wicket takers. So she's one of the best players in the entire tournament.
Yeah, but her team are not doing anything around her, which is why they're losing every game despite having one of the top batters. Yeah.
And I mean, her scores could be even more remarkable, but no one's sticking with her. No one's playing that supporting role that they need to do.
Yeah, so she opened the batting and was the last person out at the end.
Yeah.
You know, diving to try and get in, which other people that were run out were not even seem to be attention to run the bat in. Anyway, Sparks played really well. I missed their innings, but 260 with M. Arlott scoring loads of runs.
Yeah.
I mean, what a season she's had. That's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, with both bat and ball. I think, obviously, her bowling's been incredible, and we saw that in the 100. But especially with the bat as well. I mean, she hit the winning runs for Sparks in the semi-final of the Charlotte Edwards Cup and has just been a really reliable player. And to get 63 from 73, I thought was a really good performance. Just class player.
I really like Emma Arlott. And it's funny because her and Izzy Wong are on the same team.
Yeah.
And Izzy Wong is, you know, the star of the English game, the future of the English game. But if you compare their performances across this season, Emma Arlott has been the better player with both bat and ball.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But no, I think she's been really good. And I mean, I was hoping that maybe she would get WBBL contract or have those opportunities, I suppose, that people like Mybe Shear, Lindsay Smith, Eve Jones, and Izzy Wong had last year. I think she's been class this year. And I mean, hopefully, either in the winter or next summer, she gets some recognition from England because she's been great. But again, one of those players that if she's off in the summer, then it's a little bit of a void for Sparks to fill, which creates a problem. But it can only be a good thing for her as a player. But yeah, we mentioned Grace Scrivens, 61 from 75. I mean, that could have been a century if players had stuck with her. The highest score below that was 13 from Naomi Detani, which is just, not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And virtually no one batted for longer than 15 minutes.
No.
So it's just, it was really poor.
Mm. But Davina Perrin, bowling.
Yes, that was interesting.
Yeah, it got three wickets.
In an over. Three wickets in over, as well as bowling some absolute filth in the same over as well. It was really strange. It was really strange, but yeah, really amazing. She's definitely one to look out for. And then on the Sunday, you went up to Manchester. I had to drive you as far as Crewe so you could get a train to Manchester for that time in the morning. And then rain delayed the game anyway.
Exactly. Thunder versus Western Storm. I thought it was a really, really good game to watch. I think it was kind of full of surprises. Deandra Dottin had a great start, got 46. Then Seren Smail, just amazing. 57 from 93, but just a really kind of composed innings. And obviously she opened with Deandra Dottin taking the place of Emma Lamb, which is, you know, huge shoes to fill. But once Dottin got out, I think she guided Danny Collins very well. They worked really well together. Can you tell I've done commentary on this?
Yeah,
I've got all these phrases in my head now. But I thought they batted really well together. And then kind of the star of the show was Liberty Heap at the end, 36 from 18.
That was a kind of I was there moment. Well, it's yeah, I was watching it on the live stream. That feels like a star is born. Mm. This is the future.
Yeah.
And a young player just comes into the side and, you know, six back over the bowler's head, fours all around the ground, just scoring at will. It was a joy to see and actually gave Thunder a decent total, like the highest total
they've had all season
To defend. Not that they managed to do that.
No. But I thought it was really good. And I don't know, if you weren't there, you probably couldn't see, but the boundaries at Old Trafford are massive. And for this game, you know, that was no exception. So to be able to clear the boundary was amazing. And I think she just came out and surprised everyone, because she's played a couple of games for Thunder, but really not that many. And she's been performing in the academy and under 18s and stuff like that. But I thought it was a great innings. And again, a player that I think people have spoken about for a couple of years, but hasn't necessarily got that many opportunities. But I think, both her and Seren Smail played amazingly for Thunder. And it shows that, obviously, Thunder have been a bit of a struggling side, but they've got this young talent coming through.
Yeah.
And they just need a little bit of time for them to kind of develop. And then I'm sure they'll be an incredible side.
Yeah, that was brilliant to see.
In terms of Western Storm's bowling, Chloe Skelton was great, 2 for 33 from her 10 overs. Mm-hmm. And then Lauren Filer, 3 from 46 from her 10. And I've been impressed with Lauren Filer, actually. Mm-hmm. She bowled pretty well in the 100. Exciting talent. I saw a stat, I think it was from Sophie Luff, saying that the average age of the Western Storm team was 21. And all the players were, you know, homegrown talent from the Western Storm counties. And I can't remember how many players it was, but, you know, all the players that have come up through the Western Storm Academy. And it's just so good to see kind of the product of these players that have been brought up through the systems that have been created over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. And this whole match was brilliant for that, for showcasing young talent, wasn't it? I mean, Sophia Smail, we almost don't count her as young talent now.
No.
You know, she's already broken through and she bowled decently as well. So going into the Western Storm innings, they chased it down with 5 and a bit overs to spare.
Yeah. It was very close at the end, actually, because I can't remember, they had like 2 wickets in hand and needed 13 runs or something. And it was looking quite close. But no, I thought Sophia Smail was great at the end, just kind of having quite a mature head on. I mean, same with Chloe Skelton, actually, and just deciding, okay, when are we going to run singles? Let's not be reckless with our wickets and just be kind of careful. I thought they played really well.
Yeah, so no one scored a big innings, did they? So Gibson got 56. Mm. Which was the top score.
Mm.
But it was those two at the end, wasn't it? This just kind of shepherded them home with loads of maturity.
Yeah.
And a really good win for Western Storm.
Yeah. And then kind of the last regional game of the week was Southeast Stars against Southern Vipers in the semi-final. And to me, it was a little bit reminiscent of the semi-final last time with Northern Diamonds against Sparks, because Southeast Stars got bowled out for 139, which I just thought it was not a great performance.
Really. Oh, it's a real shame, isn't it? Because this was a real opportunity for them. And it's the second time it's happened to them this season, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just really somehow froze on the day. And then once you're out after 42 overs, 139 against Vipers, the game's only going to go one way, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, extras, second top scored actually with 28, which is never good. I mean, to be fair, not great from Vipers bowling 23 wides.
Yeah.
That's a concern ahead of the final.
They can't be doing that at Lords.
Be doing that to Northern Diamonds. So, yeah, not great by Southeast Stars, but then kind of true Vipers fashion. Ella McCacken got 47, Maya Boucher 51, and then a couple of others just guided them home, and they had plenty of time and finished off in 34 overs. It's a bit anticlimactic, really, and kind of after the first couple of overs, you're like, oh, well, Vipers are going to win. They're going to Lords.
And Emily Windsor does what Emily Windsor does.
Oh, hits the winning runs every time.
She only faced one ball.
I know.
Hit it for four and won the match.
Typical. but no, yeah. All I'm glad is that Northern Diamonds are in the final. We can have a north-south battle.
That's right, yes. And yes, we've made a decision about who we're supporting as well, haven't we?
Yeah, we're going to be... I think it was kind of obvious if Vipers were in the final, we weren't going to be supporting them. we will be supporting Northern Diamonds, despite our Lancastrian roots. But we've decided we're supporting Northumberland. Yes. I think there's one player from Northumberland in the team, but we're supporting Northumberland because we love Northumberland. So we're going to roll with that and see what happens. But this is the third Rachel Hayfield final out of three between Vipers and Northern Diamonds. So can Northern Diamonds stop being serial chokers and beat the Vipers finally?
Oh, come on, Paul. But if we spoke to one of them, we'd never say serial chokers to that person, would we?
Of course not. Unless we'd spoken to them before.
Yes, maybe that's coming up a bit later.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get on to our guest, who is one of those serial chokers from Northern Diamonds, shall we talk about England?
Yeah, so England have obviously got their ODI series happening at the moment with the big final game on Saturday at Lords. It's the first game against India. India won by 7 wickets. And it just really wasn't a great performance by England.
Yeah, they posted 227, which really is never going to be enough. Although it probably was enough in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
But,
times have changed.
Times have changed, absolutely. Mm. Alice Davidson-Richards got a 50, though, sort of really timed her innings nicely coming in down the order after we'd lost some batters, going through the middle overs. Nice little cameo, of course, by Sophie Eccleston.
Yeah.
But, and Charlie Dean at the end. But, that is quite a lot of runs under par, I would suggest.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting about Tammy Beaumont. I mean, she really underperformed, I think, in the last couple of games. So we'll see.
It's a funny one because it seemed like she was going along doing pretty nicely as an England player until she got dropped for the Commonwealth Games. Yeah. And she's never been the same since.
No, even regional stuff. So I don't know, interesting one. But then we had a bit of a Smriti Mandana show, 91 from 99, which I think after that kind of seals the deal for India. But Harmanpreet Kaur was 74 from 94 and Bhatia got 50 from 47. So, I mean, just top performance by India, really. And you can't fault them.
Yeah, so five and a bit over to spare. It was a thrashing.
Yeah.
And you'd think, realistically, had they batted first... and batted at that pace, they would be pushing 300.
Yeah, which they batted first in the second game and definitely pushed 300.
But this was extraordinary, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Because I was following that game while I was at work.
Yeah.
From time to time in between lessons. Obviously. Not during lessons.
Obviously.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, there's a possibility they might get up to 300 here. And then sort of checked it out with about, you know, 6 or 7 overs to go. And it's like, well, it looked like they're not going to quite get up to 300. But something quite extraordinary happened at the end. Freya Kemp had gone for 28 runs from her first 7 overs. She was our most economical bowler. So Amy Jones has saved her for the death overs. Absolutely perfect. So she goes in, and from her final 3 overs, from having conceded 28 runs from her first 7, she then records the worst figures ever by an England bowler. 54 runs hit from our final 3 overs. Unbelievable. Completely destroyed by Harmanpreet Kaur.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to give the credit to Harmanpreet Kaur, really, because... just incredible. I don't think Freya Kemp could have really done anything else. You know, obviously, I haven't watched it back technically and everything like that, but I mean, if Harmanpreet's going to fire, she's going to fire.
And it's a huge learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think this is the thing about this England side, is that you're missing Catherine Brunt.
Mm.
You're missing that Sivir. So that's two, actually, you know, a world-class bowler and a world-class all-rounder.
And Heather Knight.
And then Heather Knight as well. But thinking about the bowling attack... Yeah. Then suddenly you are going to a 17-year-old and saying, can you bowl the death overs at Harmanpreet Kaur? Something like this could
happen.
It could well happen and did happen. So she will learn from that. She'll come back a better player on the back of it. But England have been absolutely thrashed as a result of not just her bowling. Actually, you know, everyone's bowling as well.
Yeah.
Lauren Bell, I think, recorded the second worst
figures
ever. I think that they will... they'll come back stronger, hopefully on Sunday at Lords.
Yeah.
But actually in the long term, that will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to know that, you know, they're playing against some of the greatest women's cricketers of all time.
Yeah.
You know, Harmanpreet Kaur's 143 in this, her famous 171 in the World Cup semi-final 5 years ago. That places her in the stratosphere of greatest players of all time.
Yeah. And also, I think it's interesting the fact they put those 5 bowlers on that went for... 10 overs each. Obviously, if Heather Knight was playing, they might have played her, but I was surprised they didn't play Emma Lamb at all in terms of the bowling. I think Capsy, she got a bit of an injury to her hand, so they didn't bowl her, but I thought maybe you could have put Emma Lamb on at some point.
It just gives you more options at the death, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And
it's not all kind of pressure on one person.
And that's, I guess that's the other side of it, isn't it? Is that England have got a rookie captain as in Amy Jones. So this is another thing to throw into the mix of why England are underperforming.
Yeah. But anyway, exciting news for England women with the prospect of the Ashes next summer. They're also going to play a series against Sri Lanka in September, one of them which is going to be in Durham, which will be cold. but anyway, in terms of places to play and stuff, the big news is that there is now a 5-day test match for England women, and it's going to be at Trent Bridge.
Both of those bits of news are amazing. I mean, we anticipated the Trent Bridge thing because that had been rumoured for a while, but the five days
was just completely out of the blue. I mean, we've been begging for it, but we didn't really expect it to happen. So
yes, amazing. And it seems to be like, you know, the ICC have no interest in test cricket for women, so it seems like the ECB said, right, yeah, we'll have a test match and let's have it 5 days.
Yeah,
let's put 6 day on.
Yeah, let's do it. That was really good news. And then kind of more big news on the top of that is the grounds that the Ashes is going to be played at. So we've got Edgbaston, the Oval, Lords, the Aegeus Bowl, which is just amazing to have those big venues. And I think the Commonwealth Games kind of set the tone for that. They saw how successful T20s were at Edgbaston and thought, we could do this at Lords, we could do this at the Oval and stuff like that.
But it's marketing as well, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
The Ashes is now a single product.
Yeah.
It's happening this summer and it involves the men's team, it involves the women's team, and it's all being marketed together.
Yeah. And the ballots together, everything. It's just, 10 out of 10. Everything I saw on Twitter, I was so happy about. I was like, you've done that perfectly. You've done that. And I was like, are they listening to us? But no, that was really positive. The only slight thing I have to moan about, which, I mean, there's always going to be something at fault, is the lack of matches up north still. We were very happy last year when we found out there was one game up north in Durham. But we realised this year, having a game in Durham in September is probably not always the wisest move.
Have you looked at the long-term forecast for Durham next September?
I have. Very cold. Probably a bit drizzly. But no, I think they could have had more games up north, and I don't think there's particularly an excuse not to have them. You know, you've got two great venues in Old Trafford and Headingley. I think even a game in Durham, but maybe just not in September, on a night when it's going to be chilly. Overall, I think
we're really positive.
Yeah, really pleased. And we better get into those ballots.
Oh, right. Yeah. Get the credit card out again.
But yeah, big weekend ahead of cricket and a great way to finish off our season. The last thing we do need to do, though, is introduce our guest, who is a returning guest and is also heading to Lords.
I really love Katie Levick. I think she's amazing. Great.
She's a very good sport. She takes what we say very well.
Well, I hope she does.
I hope she does. Maybe it's just hiding her pain behind the smile. Yeah.
As you listen to Katie Levick, you'll notice that there is no internet in Yorkshire because the government's levelling up has been shelved. So she had to go to the phone box down the road and kept putting 10p's in.
Do you know, I said this straight after. I said, the first thing, as soon as we like clicked the thing, I was like, every time we have a returning guest, bear in mind it's been two times, they have the name Kate or Katie, some variation of that, and they always sound like they're on the phone, which is just a bit of a strange coincidence. But
so it's a bit of a retro feel to it.
Retro feel. But ever since we did our first interview with Katie, which, bear in mind, it was like 10 minutes long, it was probably our fourth or fifth ever guest, we have no idea what we're doing, I've always said, oh, we need to get Katie back. Mm-hmm. We need to... And finally, we've done it. And we've done it perfect position just before she heads to Lords for the Rachel Hare Flint final. So, enjoy our chat with Katie.
You're in a final.
Yeah. It's massive for us. We're so excited about it. Lords is obviously what everyone saw at the beginning of the year, and to get there, but to get there directly qualifying was the aim, and we're all chuffed basically that we've got a week to focus on ourselves rather than think about an eliminator like we have done in every other competition so far.
It's amazing. And you managed to beat Southern Vipers.
Yeah. Bit of a rivalry to say we're opposite ends of the country. You know, we've come on the wrong side of a couple of finals against them, but we were just thrilled to beat them on Saturday and go straight through to the final. And I think that's the first 50 over the game we've actually lost in the Hey Ho Flint. So it was a real marker for us
in
as a
history.
Team. That,
they did help you by putting their second 11 out, though, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, that shows, I think that's something we chatted about today as a team, that we've had a pretty consistent 11 throughout the whole comp. And yeah, that means our girls aren't in the England setup at the moment, but I think it's really put us in good stead that we don't have to have a massively changed team no matter what fixtures are going on.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for being Southern Vipers. Someone needed to do it at some point. You mentioned about having such a kind of consistent starting 11 and stuff. What else has worked for Northern Diamonds this year? Because, I mean, in the Rachel Hare Flint, you know, coming out unbeaten so far is an incredible achievement.
Yeah, I think 50 over has always been our preferred format. We've done pretty well at it so far. We've only really lost finals, unfortunately, in that format. And I think just we've got a real strength and depth in our squad, and everyone's stood up at different times. We've not relied on people. So if anyone has gone away for international duty or missed a couple of games because of injury, it's not been a massive effect on our team, and someone else can step up and do it. And we're also quite a similar team to what started the whole competition 3-4 years ago. So we've really gelled, and we're just desperate to win some silverware for the Northern Diamonds as a unit.
Yeah, I mean, what strikes me as well is that you don't have that many England players, so that works to your advantage, but actually you've possibly got the top best batter, most informed batter in the whole of England playing for you in Lauren Winfield-Hill.
And that's a huge bonus, isn't it? To have someone who's so experienced, so good, and you're not losing them to an England call-up, although it's probably a bit gutting for her.
Yeah, I think we've been so lucky to have Loz consistently throughout the year. Like our England players have always been Loz, Nat and Catherine, and they're huge players whenever we have them, but we pretty much make all our plans to never have them. Mm-hmm. So it's been really nice to have an extended run. And I think Loz will probably say herself, you know, getting out of the England setup for a little bit and having a continued run with us has really helped her have a bit of clarity and refocus in her career. And I think you can just tell she's really enjoying her cricket, and it's really enjoyable to sit and watch on the bench as well.
Yeah, and just a couple of months after we spoke to you last time, you got a professional contract. What difference has that made? Because, I mean, we've noticed across the women's game that it's really improved the matches we're watching, the quality of the cricket we're seeing.
Yeah, I didn't realise that was how long ago I spoke to you guys. But it's been huge for myself. I think just looking at the fixture card this year, it had been such a struggle to do that and a job. It is really tough on the girls that are in full-time education, full-time work, and I've had a full pre-season for the first time in my career in my 30s, and I've actually been able to focus on my skills, and it's so far shown on the pitch, and I'm just feeling really confident. I don't have to worry, have I got enough training this week, and I know that I can do exactly what's needed for myself to get ready for games, and that's just been a real nice luxury to take one stressor out of your life where you're not thinking I'm letting down one side of my life like I always used to think, and I think a lot of girls are seeing that, and hopefully it won't be too long till everyone gets that luxury.
Yes, I remember things are coming back to me from last time we spoke, and you talked about working in the office and being surrounded by pop chips all the time, and then the sour cream and chive were particularly good. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it's been good for my waistline to go full time pro. I don't have the temptations of an office snack table anymore.
Now, I've got to tell you a story that we went to see Northern Diamonds play this season. So we wanted to see the difference that it made, you know, you being full-time professional, having that pre-season. So early on in the season, back in May, we went to Loughborough to watch you play Lightning. And so really looking forward to seeing Katie Levitt bowl. And on you came, your first bowl of the season. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, Marie stepped across and I tried to follow her, and I think it bounced 15 times off the strip and rolled away. And yeah, it was horrific. I'm glad you watched that one.
Yeah, it was amazing. And you can see the umpire was hesitating. Was that a wide or a no ball? I eventually gave a no ball for it. I think that was the only over you bowled in the whole game when you went for 12 runs or something.
Yeah, that was the variation that didn't work out all that well for me. But it was a good wake-up call. I remember playing in that game and thinking, oh my God, I've made a massive mistake. Like, I'm not a full-time professional. What on earth have I done? And thinking, I'm going to be on Monster on Monday looking for a job. But luckily, I got the nerves out and it's been a bit better since. As long as you two never come to another game, I think.
To be fair, we haven't been to a game, seen Northern Diamonds since. So I think maybe we are kind of a bad luck omen.
We try and avoid Yorkshire folk generally, don't we? Having Lancastrian roots, but we are going to Lourdes on Sunday, so we're looking forward to a repeat of that delivery. You know, the opposite of the Shane Warne bowl of the century.
I mean, yeah, it'll definitely be a bowl of something. You'll probably see me giving Holly the captain but I don't want the bowl today. I'll be the only bowler. They'll be like, no, get loose. No, thank you. No, no.
So, in fact, did you get to play at Lourdes in the 100 at all?
Yeah, I was lucky we got to do that last year. We played against the Spirit. We didn't win. We came up against the Deandra Dottin masterclass, and she took it away from us, but it was a hell of an experience. So I think that's nice in a way that like half the team have got sort of that out of the way. So it's not, but then equally the other half of the team, we were talking them through how amazing it's going to be. And like last year, we were lucky in the superchargers. We made a pact that we're all going to just allow you to embrace your inner badger and take in the occasion and love it. And there's going to be no embarrassing, like, just take every picture you want to and enjoy every moment. So we've made sure that the same is happening for the Diamonds, and everyone just can't wait to get down there. It's going to be exciting for everyone.
And I mean, the biggest thing for me about Lourdes is Lourdes lunch. You know, did you have it last time? And how long will you be in London this weekend to experience the full Lourdes lunch?
Yeah, we were lucky with the 100 fixtures, you get fed before and after, and we were there training the day before as well, so we got in many meals. And if it's anything like Headingley last week, I was still sat at the tea room and realised the game had started behind me again. So I can imagine it'll be a similar situation at Lords as long as we're batting second.
Now, we need to, and you've spoken about this a little bit already, is that when it comes to finals, Northern Diamonds are serial chokers. How are you going to make sure that doesn't happen this weekend?
Joke's such a big word. I'll just put that out there. We're serial silver medalists, is how I like to think about it, you know. Yeah, I think there's a disappointing thing in the finals is they've always been brilliant games and we've always just come out on the wrong side of it. And it's not as if we've absolutely capitulated in the final or been heavily hammered by someone. It's always been a down to the wire and just the wrong side of it. So hopefully with this year and in previous years, we've got experience of those finals now and we've had quite a few tight finishes this year, against Sunrisers and Lightning. And we're all just in really good position. We won't have the eliminator in our bodies. So that's another promising thing, all the travel. And like I mentioned a bit earlier, we're just really excited. We can focus on ourselves this week and all the prep is just about us. And whoever we come to face on Sunday is another matter. But yeah, hopefully we won better this year. One gold at least in my career would be nice.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the 100 before and, you know, now you've got two seasons under your belt. What was kind of the differences you noticed between the first edition and the second edition?
I think the batting totals were the first thing I noticed. In the first game when I thought we put on an absolute mammoth 140-something and didn't defend it, and sort of different kettle of fish the first year, you can tell people are getting used to now playing on the nice grounds and hitting the ball a lot further. And I think the standard just went up in the women's game. We had all the top professionals there this year, the overseas that you wanted in the year ones. You know, we had Alyssa Healy and you got Beth Mooney and all those sorts of players, Soph Devine. So I think the standard really went up and it showed in the product. And I think the women's competition was, most people would probably agree, was better than the men's this year. And it was more of a spectacle, tighter games and just high quality. I think there was none of those nerves about what to expect this year. I think everyone just hit the ground running from game one and it was just a really full-on month.
And what was the home crowd like at Headingley this year? I remember last year it was pretty good. Was it even louder?
Yeah, it was unreal this year. I think the first game, we broke the attendance record at Headingley for a women's game and all my family were sat there and they were saying this is a lot fuller than it was last year. And last year we couldn't believe it. And we're lucky that we put on three really good performances at Headingley. We were undefeated there and the crowd were huge in that for us and cheering us on. And it's a bit surreal when you go from the Diamonds fixtures all summer when there's a couple of hundred there maybe and most people are watching on a live stream to suddenly people at home are watching you on BBC and there's thousands around you. So it takes you a game or two to get used to that. But it's just incredible and it was so surreal. And I think that they're really bought into it as well, the fans, especially the ones that are there in the ground, that they're showing up for the women's games especially.
Yeah, I mean, the game I remember the most from this year was the Originals against Superchargers game, just because of how close it was. What was it like to be there for that game? Because it was such a nerve-wracking finish.
Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, the first half you had Dotting, where there was multiple times in the field when I was like, oh, shot. And that was just sailing into a second stand. And I probably shouldn't be cheering that on because it's on the other team. But the hitting was just brutal that I've never seen in a women's game before. And they suddenly put on about 80 and about 20 of the last balls of the innings. And it was just, I remember thinking that is incredible. Like, unlucky, they've had a great day. And then Wolfie, you wouldn't expect to be such a powerhouse, Laura Wolfart, batting through the innings and then just kicking on to another gear. It was just a masterclass. The first year we were treated to that by Jemmy Rodrigues when she did something similar and took a game from the jaws of defeat. And then Wolfie this year, it was just incredible to watch on the bench and nerve-wracking. I think it was actually an easier watch thinking we were never going to win it in the second half. But we were, I think what really spurred us on is Holly, our captain, stopped us at the halfway stage and she was like, look, girls, and that's a big score, but I actually think they're 20 short. And we were like, oh, that's a big call, but okay. And then after the game, we realised it's because she thought they hit 140, not 160. So she thought they were 20 short and 160 was going to be a good score, which is what we were actually chasing. So it's good that we all thought we were aiming for 180. In the end, it was a good reverse psychology team talk, I think, from her.
And what was it like having Holly as the captain of Superchargers? Because obviously she captains Diamonds. You've got quite a similar team. Was that consistency kind of helpful?
Yeah, certainly for a bowler like myself, I really enjoy Holly's captaincy. I think she's got one of the best cricket brains I've ever come across and she's quite a bit younger, but she's just so switched on and tactically thinking, and she makes everything really easy, especially with the Diamonds girls. She knows our plans as well as we know our plans, so it's not much conversation needed. So more often than not, she's just chatting to you, making sure you're all right and you're calm and you're not overthinking things, rather than, oh, what field do you want for this person or where do you want? So she's just such a calming influence, and you just, all the girls love to play for her and trust her. And I think that's the best thing you can get from a captain, one that can just calm you down and then probably make you laugh in between balls when Dottin's putting you into row Z.
In fact, was that game against the Originals one of the games when Amy Campbell got cheekily run out?
Yes.
Because that happened to two games running, which is...
Yeah. I mean, Amy's one of my, like, best friends. Yeah. And when that happened in the game, I think one of the girls said to her, like, what have you done? Because it was just unbelievable. I went to see her after the game and she's like, what was that? And she's like, don't. Like, I've had an absolute stinker. And then word got round, she'd done it again. I was just like, oh, I felt for her. Like, it's just, I think only Amy could do it. But she manages these weird and wonderful ways to get herself out for incredibly talented batter. She manages things that I didn't know were possible.
Yeah, we're big fans of Amy Campbell, aren't we? But to do it once was unfortunate. Twice, a bit careless.
Do it twice is very Campbell. I think that's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, right. So, who do you want to beat in the final then?
Tough question. We were chatting about this today. A couple of us were in the gym and we're not actually sure who we'd rather face. I think it's because you're so unsure what team you'd face with all their England players, whether they'd be there or not. You don't know on paper who you could face. I think in a way that's good for us that we don't have I'm desperately hoping this team's there. We've obviously beat Vipers this year, so we've got the confidence there. Haven't come across Stars because that was the game that got postponed from the Queens past weekend. But I think we just try not to focus on the other team at the moment, and just whoever we come across and be interested in what the outcome is tomorrow. I think that'll be a very good game. But whoever we face, we will back ourselves again.
You probably won't want to comment about this, but to me, it seems just a little bit weird that it's like the major showpiece final of the women's domestic game. And there are going to be quite a lot of players missing because they're on England duty. And I'm just wondering whether you feel that dilutes the value of it a little bit or dilutes the product a little bit if that happens.
Yeah, obviously you want your best players available for it. But again, equally, we were discussing that Saturday is the final fixture in the England calendar for this year at home, certainly. So you don't know who might get released. I think all the girls that are in the England setup would probably be desperate to get back and play for the region. The ones that are in the running, your likes of ADR and Dunks and Bell have all played a big part in their domestic teams. So I could imagine they are desperate to get back. So I think there could be quite a few if they're allowed to come back and play. And I think that's testament to the domestic setup that people want to play and they want to win the trophies for their teams because we've all got a real affinity to them now. It would obviously be nice if you could have all your showpiece players on display, but the same thing happens in the men's game. You know, often a team that gets you through to a final stage isn't the one that's there on the final. But I think that's where we're really lucky that we know pretty much what our squad's going to be leading to the weekend. We don't lose anyone, we don't gain anyone, and we're all just in a nice position that we're quite set. So at least we're not in a position where you could be a couple of girls that are sat in a hotel room on a Saturday night and find out you're not playing because England have released someone. So at least we're in a position where we don't have to have those and thoughts in the back of your mind.
Have we decided who we're supporting yet?
Well, of course you're going to support the Northern team, not supporting the Southern team.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but I'm from Preston, you see.
I think we're going to be outnumbered at Lords, the Northerners, so any extra people we can get on board, I think, needed.
Okay, I am backing Northern Diamonds.
You said it.
I've said it. I'm backing Northern Diamonds. So
we'll end the podcast there.
I need to get some Yorkshire merchandise and stuff and wear my white rose.
God, you can wear Yorkshire merchandise. You can support them, but don't wear anything.
Well, we're not technically Yorkshire, so you could go for Durham if that's easier for you to become affinity to.
We like Northumberland. So
we do like Northumberland.
We can represent that part of Northern.
I like it. I like it. Yeah.
We've got a lovely Northumberland lass now in Lizzie Scott, so you can put your support behind her.
Oh, yes. In fact, tell us a little bit, before we finish, tell us a little bit about who are the young up-and-coming players that we need to watch out for in the Northern Diamonds setup. Because we saw Manchester Originals, sorry,
we didn't see Manchester. We saw Thunder. You saw Thunder play at Old Trafford, and there were some real breakthrough performances by some very young players last weekend. So who are the ones at Northern Diamonds we need to watch out for?
Yeah, I think, well, so a couple of them, we forget how young they are. Like, Bess Heath is the first one that I think is just will play for England. I don't think that's a question. She's phenomenal, and she's still only just turned 21 about a month ago. And she's such a talent. She took the game home for us last weekend with Loz and showed maturity beyond the years. So I think you can't really look much further past her. Then I've touched on Lizzie Scott. She's a young girl, she's 18, from Northumberland, and she bowls massive hooping in swingers like Lauren Bellis. For a little short girl, she gets it through at pace, and she's a real asset for us. We've had a couple of girls making their debuts this year. Had Emma Marlowe being a consistent in the team, but another one you forget is 18. And I think quite a few of these girls, I'd like to hope they would be pushing for like an under-19 spot with that World Cup coming up for England. Marlowe's been a consistent for our team, and she even got 100 gig, and she's just been a consistent offie, and it's really bright future for the Diamonds. We've got that core still of us oldies, but it's nice that we're bringing through the youngsters, and we can see these young'uns that have got 10 years plus on me that I can see are coming in and coming for our spaces. That's what we always said we wanted from the domestic structure.
Yeah, well, that's it. And they're so good, aren't they? And they just seem fearless. So we saw Liberty Heap play for Thunder, and that's what struck me again. You know, she just walks in there and it's like she belongs there. And she, you know, I can, you know, hit you back over your head for six, no problem. It's just extraordinary to see. And it feels like they're quickly going to come in, these next generations, and really, really advance the game.
They're so fortunate that they're already training these academy setups that pretty much mirror the senior setups. So they've got, they're used to full-time training and S&C and all the things that go with that. And they're able to watch us a lot more on TV and stuff beforehand to see what it's all about. And yeah, like you said, that Lizzie came in and made her debut at the County Ground at Taunton, and then she played at Headingley this weekend. And to me, as an 18-year-old, that would have blown my mind, because I was playing at Harrogate and Barnsley, and they seemed like big stadiums, and they're just not fazed by it because they're seeing it more often, and they know that that's what women's cricket is now. So if I'm going to play, I'm going to play on these good pitches. And they're lucky that they've got players like myself and Holly and Jenny Gunn that they can chat to about these things, and we can help them into that process. But most of them are just hitting the ground running, as a credit to the whole system, like top to bottom.
Katie, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you as ever. And maybe in another year's time, we'll speak to you and you'll be about to play another final. But we want to wish you all the best at Lord's on Sunday. We'll be sat there somewhere cheering you on.
Thanks. Hopefully next year I'll be sat with a gold medal on this time rather than...
But yeah, enjoy the whole experience. I hope it's absolutely brilliant. And bring that trophy home. Katie, we wish you every success this weekend. Mm-hmm. Go and win it for Northumberland, for Durham, and for that other county that's...
Oh, yeah, I like Durham as well. I like Durham.
Yeah. That other I can't remember the other one that's in Northern Diamonds.
Yeah, but... no, me neither. Must not be important.
So we better go and pack our bags, Paul, because we've got to get to London by Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Get ourselves ready. Going to camp outside Lord's.
Pictures
with our union flags.
Oh, no, don't.
A weekend too late.
On this time, day, what a shame. No, we're going to the home of Britain, cricket in Lords. But no, if anyone else at Lords, I was going to say come and say hi, but I get really scared of going to say hi, and I don't know what to say, so maybe don't. But no, I hope everyone else enjoys kind of an amazing weekend of cricket, because it feels like the women's cricket kind of world it feels a little bit small, but it feels like this weekend's going to be kind of a culmination, or certainly the Rachel Hare Flint final, because it's a bit more niche. It feels like everyone that's going to be at Lords kind of has this one, I don't know, I don't, it sounds really cheesy, like one thing kind of unifying everyone, but do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that one thing in common, which I think is really nice.
Yes, it's like we're eccentric followers of a very niche hobby.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like, you know, ancient antique steamroller collectors who all get together and have a rally.
Don't put me in that category. No, thank you. But no, it's very exciting. And I've heard that, I think it's for the ODI, maybe Rachel can find this to be the case, but the museum will be open as well. And they've got a section on women's cricket, which I saw in March. So that'll be open, like included as part of the ticket. So if you're at Lord's, go to the exhibition, because I've heard, well, I've seen it with my own eyes, so it's very good. So yeah, we'll be back next week to kind of round off the season a little bit more. And yeah, WNCL starting in Australia this weekend. Former kind of podcast sort of guest, friend.
Wash's correspondent.
Lily is actually going to do some commentary, making a commentary debut on Sunday.
Good luck in the WNCL.
So yeah, enjoy that. And yeah, we'll try and follow it as much as we can, even though it'll be like 1 a.m. But yeah, excited for the weekend ahead, and we'll be back next week. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram, which is North Child Podcast, and Twitter, which is OHL Podcast. And we've also got tons of other episodes you can listen to. So if you want to find more about any Northern Diamonds or Southern Vipers, we've got a couple of episodes of them as well.